Hi, and welcome to the KBK Broadcast Podcast, The MIME, the Medical Industry Marketing Experience. I'm Bob Brinson. We're talking with KBK's president, Jan Beery. And Jan, what are we going to be covering today?
I thought that we'd talk a little bit more about social media because there's a lot that goes into the background of social media, and then there's a lot that goes into the actual postings and the methodology and so forth. We're going to talk to Teddy Fassel, and she heads up our social media team and educates and is constantly on top of and learning all things social media. And you'd think that social media is just, you know, something to play around with. And yeah, I suppose yeah. We need to have a presence, but it actually isn't. There's a lot of methodology to it, and there's a lot of changes that have happened this year, and there are some things that to be prepped for next year. What I thought we would do is start with talking a little bit with you, Teddy, about how our team actually uses social media for business.
So we use all different platforms for our clients. We use Google+, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We need to use all of them because we need to have a presence everywhere people might be looking for us. And they all offer different options. So that's another reason that we make sure that we cover as much platform grounds as we can. There are certain platforms that work better for certain clients, but again, I just think it's important to have that presence.
That's a good point, because when I go to a website and I do see all those icons down there for all the different, it's like if I see all of them there, it's like, wow. They're really engaged,
you know,
instead of just one or two.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing, is you never know where, you know, there might be people looking for you. So it's definitely, you want to be able to be there just to show that you're, and you definitely want to be active if you're going to be there. So I don't ever recommend having these sites and not using them. You need to be constantly using them so people know that you're active. And if they have a question, they're going to know that you're going to answer it. You'll be there to answer it.
And that's the reason that you're using social for business to drive them to the website?
Yes, to the website, but also as we want to drive them to even our other social platforms. But mainly we want to get them to engage. That is the sole purpose of, to me, that is the sole purpose of social media, to engage, to get to know your business, and also, yes, to drive back to the site.
That's basically the ultimate. The ultimate is to get them to go back to the website. At the same time, you're building their reputation online, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Then what do you see with Google+ now? And do you have any thoughts on Google+ going into the next year?
You know, I wish I could say that I do. Google+, they've tried and they keep trying, but they're just failing. Unfortunately, I think that it's important to use them for the purpose of SEO. You know, we would definitely want to be posting stuff, content on there that's going to place us in Google rankings, get us up on the Google page. There was recently a employee of Google+, someone that was actually pretty high up in Google+, who actually referred to Google+ as part of a painfully long list of unsuccessful products.
Oh, wow.
They just basically got beaten by Facebook. Facebook's offer, every time they try to do something else, Facebook beats them in that, or they offer something new in that. So Google+ is kind of just taking in what they can at this point. It's still important to use them, I feel, as long as we can. If they continue to keep their social platform, it's just important to have our content on there for SEO.
Well, what do you say? You didn't mention Facebook, but I know that you do use Facebook with our clients as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Facebook is interesting. I feel like our clients a lot of the time are unsure of Facebook. When we say it, they just don't seem to be super confident in the value of it. I have a completely different opinion on that because I find it extremely valuable. That's where everyone is. If you like a business, normally on Facebook, for me, if I like a business, I will first look for it on Facebook. And I think that says a lot. I think most generations are doing that. I think it's very important just even to have a Facebook presence as well. But I think it's also a place to be extremely personable. You can make your business human. Because for us, I mean, we use Facebook to post not only like content from our clients' website. We post it. We post their events that they're going to be at. We post pictures that they send us from the events. which shows people, kind of puts a face on the business. We also use it for trying to get them to come to other social sites, and obviously bringing them back to our website. But another thing we actually do is when we're posting for these events, or we're posting for, we're actually sharing other people's information, we tag them so that we can kind of, you know, if we're sharing theirs, maybe they'll share ours. So
it becomes kind of a, it's kind of a relationship, if you will.
Yes. And I think coming up in 2016, I think that it's going to become just huge. I think it's going to be one of the, I mean, it already is one of the biggest platforms, but I think it's going to be even bigger. They're trying to help out businesses more, I think, now. So basically with one of their features, they are, if someone asks a question on your page, you actually have a response time. Or even responding to one message that's on there, it'll show that how quickly you respond to anyone on your page. So they can see.
Really?
Yeah, it's very interesting now, because they want to show how quick you are to respond and how good your customer service is on your page now. So it's very important to be answering those questions immediately.
So if someone has a complaint about a product or a service, that it's right out there. And then to have an immediate response shows that's building credibility as far as your customer service and support is concerned.
Yes, and it affects you if you don't, because they can see that you're not that good with response time.
Just going to ask you, you'd made the comment that a lot of your clients are not really all that into using Facebook. That isn't their favorite. What is their favorite?
Well, I think LinkedIn's every business person's favorite platform. And it makes sense, because LinkedIn is one of our hugest drivers. I personally love LinkedIn. I just think that Facebook, I think when they think of Facebook, they think of their kids on Facebook, or even their personal Facebook. And they think, why would you put your actual business on this platform?
But once you understand the benefits of where, like you were talking about publicizing your events and photos from those events, then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, that is kind of a good idea.
Yes, exactly. And that brings, I kind of label all of our platforms a little bit differently. You know, Facebook is more fun, but there's something to that. There's the humanization of your business in that fun. And that's why I find it to be extremely important to have that platform. You know, it's just an important platform. You need to have it.
And then as far as, you talked a bit about changes that Facebook was making, are those changes that are more focused for business? Are the changes what you were touching on as far as the responsiveness is concerned?
Yes, responsiveness, definitely, because if someone posts a question on there and there's an option now to reply as a message, and they're almost creating, I mean, you can always message a business, but when you have a question that you post on their page, you can then message them. They're creating somewhat of a chat line. So if you're on any website and they say at the bottom, need help, chat with us, that's kind of, I think, where Facebook is going with this.
And so it's keeping, because everybody is always on Facebook anyway, and you'll see things pop up with a business, or it's very easy to pop over to a business page because you're already in that platform, and it's kind of keeping you there.
Yes, exactly. Well, they've also even started with their Facebook, the ads that you can put on Facebook. There's actually an option on there as well. And this is where they're also making it very much more business friendly, is that you can actually ask a message within that ad. There's an option to message them. So that's on the paid ads that you can put out there.
And so that's giving you instant access without having to go to their website to find someone to contact.
Yes, and they'll know what you're talking about because you're responding to that actual ad.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
Facebook is, you know, they actually had taken some of Google's people. Facebook actually hired some of Google's people, and I think they're just building this huge platform. I mean, it's just going to be, it's the future.
Facebook Plus?
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised if they created a business Facebook. I don't know.
But everything still, though, what's so interesting to me is, because I think of just my own behaviors with different businesses that I follow their Facebook page. And so it's very easy for me to navigate back and forth between just staying within that Facebook area. That's fantastic. That's really good information. And so you're going to be pushing a lot of that and doing a lot of education with that going into the new year with our clients for sure.
Yes.
Definitely. And then if we transition, can we transition over to talk a bit about Twitter?
Yes.
And what you see happening there.
Twitter, right now, the focus is on Twitter ads. And I think that these are pretty helpful. I mean, you do pay for them, but I do think they're helpful because if anyone's liking, following, or retweeting any of these, then your followers see that you did that. So you can kind of see where it would benefit a business. It gets your name out there, and then the content's made relevant for whoever's looking at it. So, I mean, that's where ads just make sense.
When you're talking about the content, putting out this content within Twitter, how does that affect the search engines? Is this something that Google picks up on, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Google had teamed up with Twitter, and the tweets do now appear for trending topics while they're relevant. They have been doing this, but now there's a deeper integration with it. So now if you go on there, you know, right now, Paris is a huge topic. That's in there right now, and you can see anyone talking about it. It's right on top, or sometimes actually it's at the bottom, but right now, from what I've seen, it's on top. So, I mean, they've definitely teamed up there. For Twitter, it's actually to get that traffic back and for people to sign up for Twitter. For Google, it's for, you know, it's just going to, I mean, Google's Google. Google's it's a great search engine. So it's benefiting both of them.
And then as far as for businesses, so you talked a little bit about what's trending. Does that help with businesses as far as what's trending? Say they're going to, let's use the healthcare industry as an example. So they're going to a given show and, you know, a conference. Is that something that would be trending? And can you talk a little bit about how postings are working with Twitter for that?
For Twitter, if you're posting the show hashtag, you can search that hashtag on Google or you can search the hashtag in Twitter. And there you're able to go in and follow people at the show. You're able to post stuff about the show that everyone that's at the show is going to see. And then you can ask people to come to your booth at the show. And they're just everyone's going to see that if you're using that hashtag. And that's another reason why hashtags are so important, but also why you want to be specific about these hashtags. You want to make sure you have the right hashtag so that people are actually seeing what you're posting.
So, for example, we have right now clients that are over at the largest medical conference in the world. It's called Medica, and Medica is in Germany. So we have clients there right now. How are you posting for those clients?
For most of our clients, we will say, you know, having a great time at Medica. Come see us at booth, whatever the booth is. I know it's kind of a confusing number right now. And then we'll do hashtag Medica, and or we'll just change it up and say something friendly and try to get people to come visit us at the show.
Or if they're showing something specific or a new technology.
Yes, there's, you know, one of our clients has a specific product, and if they're showing it, we'll say, come learn more about this product at booth, you know, whatever booth we're at, and then we'll do the show hashtag. And maybe even include a link back to our website or back to the product on our website.
Do you also use Twitter to bring them back to Facebook, or do you not interchange any of the social media platforms? Do you just use them each differently?
I actually invite, on every social platform, I invite those followers to come and follow us or like us on any of those, on any of our other platforms. And also we've even started testing out having them, you know, we may say, come follow us on Twitter, you know, here. Or another thing is if they've liked our page or they're following us, we may say, thank you for the follow. Check out, you know, who we are here. And then that way we can add their website link and bring them back to the site that way. If they've commented that they like a blog that we post, we can say, you know, glad you liked it. Come check out. You might like this post as well. And then we'll include that link, bringing them back to the site again.
Mm-hmm. And so with Twitter, what do you see as what you would want, what you're going to be educating our clients on as changes, their key takeaways that they're going to be needing to consider for 2016?
Well, for 2016, they've started doing, and I've noticed this with some of the accounts as LinkedIn, Twitter, actually Facebook too, where they're actually throwing these things out before the start of the new year. And I don't know if they'll throw things out the start of the end of next year. But right now they've been throwing out things like Twitter now is giving you the option to follow 5,000 people. I think it is based on a certain number, but right now that's awesome. That just broadens who we can, us being able to follow so many more people. Because the thing is, you follow a lot of people, you have a lot of people following you, but are they, I don't want to say important, are they
relevant?
Are they relevant, And I think now we have the option where you don't run out, you can't stop following people because your list is already at 2,000. You can just keep going. And then, that's possibly that many more interactions. You can engage with that many more people. That alone just made me very happy, because it was very frustrating to get to that number 2,000 and just have to be like, okay, well, we're going to stop for a while. And now you can actually, you can keep going. And it's just, I think that's awesome that they did that.
That's great.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think another thing that's going to get pretty big are, Twitter ads. I think these Twitter ads are actually becoming huge, as well as the website cards. Both of these things are just, I think they're going to be what's really going to, people are really going to start using these next year. I really do believe that.
Do you think that media outlets will be using those ads for advertisers as well?
I guarantee you they will.
Teddy, we use LinkedIn a lot too, and I know that you use that platform differently than you use other platforms, but it has its value as well. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, LinkedIn has my nickname, definitely the professional site, because we don't joke around on there a lot. But we don't have as much fun on there as we would have on Facebook, because that's where most of your business people are going to be. And it's one of those, I think, that you're sharing professional information, and we keep it at that. That's why we don't share hashtags on there, because it's just, I think they actually tried that for a little while. That didn't work out for LinkedIn, so LinkedIn stopped allowing that. LinkedIn, they've already started making changes again at the end of this year. You probably noticed a new homepage that was rolled out recently, because they're trying to make it more personal. They're also at the top of your page now. You'll probably see feedback on how you're doing, and you can see views and then updates on posts that you've put up. And so that's kind of how I think they're trying to basically show your analytics a little bit better and just really personalize. I think that's their goal right now of LinkedIn, is to personalize it a little bit more. They've also made it where you can actually edit your homepage. I'm just patiently waiting for them to roll out that for business pages. That would be great. they now have a new search engine. The old one actually couldn't handle the volume of LinkedIn's data. So it's supposed to show the whole range of everyone on LinkedIn. When you're searching someone, you should be able to see everybody. Another thing I think that is going to become a little bit more popular are groups. That's a great way to create community and engage. You can get people talking as a team. You can share information. You can create company communication, thought leadership. I think it's a great idea. One of the things is, if you're going to create these groups, you have to be committed to them. So you have to make sure that you have the time. You don't want to create them and then not be active. So I think with LinkedIn, I think we'll be seeing much more personalization in the future.
Can you talk a little bit about the groups? So talk a little bit about who puts up a group, and how do you engage with a group, or why would you engage with a group?
So groups are made for usually a specific reason. You want to have a niche. If we were trying to create one for the healthcare industry, then anyone who was in that industry, who was relevant to that industry, they might want to join and share their input, just to create that community. And you're able to talk about things there. And people really like to be able to get on LinkedIn and actually, put their thoughts into things and, start these conversations. And so that's what I think these groups are. That's why people want to create these groups, is because they want to have this ongoing conversation.
In the healthcare industry, we have seen where there's groups, there's medical device groups, there's medical sales groups, there's independent sales groups, there's medical distribution groups. And so within there, we have seen all different types of content that's shared. There was a sales group for orthopedics, and there was an orthopedic surgeon that I was friends with that actually asked me to engage in that group. There was a conversation going on that a sales rep actually decided to use that platform to say to this high-level physician, hey, I've been trying to get an appointment with you, and so I'm using social media, just like everybody else has talked about right now in this group, to make an appointment with you, and went on to do a pitch. And this guy sent me, actually, he sent me a Twitter message and said, Jan, I need you. Do you have a minute to jump into this group? This guy is being a goofball, and he was using it inappropriately. So, you know, I piped in and I was like, you know, if you're going to do sales, this is an approach that you would do. This is what you would not do. And what happens with that is when you are obnoxiously coming in and saying, hey, Dr. So-and-so, you know, I've been trying to get a hold of you, it turns off. And so this guy was getting comments from other people in the group smacking him. And it was, the guy was like, okay. And the doctor banned this guy from being able to meet with anyone in his practice. So the power of groups is great, I've seen, for relationship building. You just cannot use them to try and be a used car salesman.
Yes, definitely. There are they're actually group rules that you're supposed to follow. So there's a whole bunch. There's so much about these groups. You know, you can create your own rules, which is great. And once you knock someone out of a group, you actually cannot bring them back in. So you really don't want to make anyone upset in a group to the point where you get banned.
And the groups can be open or closed?
Both.
And what's the difference?
Well, open groups are going to be open, obviously, to anyone who wants to take part and join the group. I'm actually part of a few that are open groups, and you can just see what they're talking about. You can take part when you want to take part. Closed groups are invite only. You know, you have to have, someone has to give you permission, basically, to come into the group. They have to invite you.
Right.
It's invitation
right.
only. So usually there has to be, you have to have a good reason to want to join those closed groups.
So it could be a professional organization like we have with Professional Women in Healthcare. We have an open Professional Women in Healthcare group where there's information that's shared. There's also a new closed group specifically for members, and they can talk about different issues or be a little bit more transparent in sharing things and asking for support or whatever.
Yes, and I think it's nice to have two groups, two of those options, because some people, you know, you never know. You might not know some of these people, but they may be a good contribution to your group and even your closed group. So I think it's good to have that option of an open group as well.
And with an organization like PWH, where it's a membership, for an open group, they're getting exposed to what the PWH organization is about. In a closed group, is once you're a member, you're able to partake in that group and tap into all of that networking and industry knowledge and so forth. So key takeaways for Twitter that you would say for 2016?
Twitter, I would say consider doing Twitter ads. They seem to be the next big thing. People are really starting to use them, and honestly, they work.
Key takeaway for Facebook?
Facebook, just brace yourself for Facebook, because I think they're definitely going to make their boom this next year. They've already started, and they're already doing amazing things. Their customer service options for businesses are just going to be great. I think they're offering so many options just to be able to reach out to your customers and talk to them.
Key takeaway for Google Plus.
Google Plus, hang in there, buddy. We want it to work out, because, you know, just keep posting for that SEO. It's important just to keep on keeping on.
Key takeaway for LinkedIn 2016.
LinkedIn, I think we can expect to see more analytics. I think we can expect to see more personalization in the future. They'll probably try to make it a little bit more friendly.
Perfect. So there's KBK's predictions, what's happened this year and what we can anticipate for next year. We hope everyone has a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year.
Thanks, Jan. You've been listening to The Mime, the medical industry marketing experience. This broadcast podcast is a presentation of KBK Communications. I'm Bob Brinson. Thanks for listening.